Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Thursday, March 18th, 2021.
The markets are mixed, I guess we will say. Some tokens are up, some coins are down. Bitcoin down $1,500 to $57,533. Ethereum down $65 to $1,779. Who's been on a tear lately after Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban wanted to start blockchainifying their tickets, is up about 10 cents to $3.76. Axie Infinity, which has been on an absolute tear lately, is up well over $3 to $4, $3.50 over the last 2 weeks, is closed the day at $4.92. Dash off just a bit to $228. Bitcoin Cash off just a bit to $533.
The DeFi Daily is sponsored by Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi. So if you need help this year figuring out your taxes for lending pools, liquidity pools, things like that, make sure to check Bitwave out. And also, Bitwave is hiring for several positions. So email info@bitwave.io if you're interested.
Oh, check out the jobs page.
So up first, Bank of America says DeFi potentially is more disruptive than Bitcoin.
We've been saying this for a while, especially if you're Bank of America. So I think there's two parts of this. One is, if you are a government, I'm not sure this is true. If you are the Nigerian government, Bitcoin is pretty darn, or like the Venezuelan government, cryptocurrencies are pretty darn disruptive. If you are Bank of America, my God, DeFi is disruptive. If you're Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, all these guys should be absolutely shaking, like quaking in their boots, because they are, I think I said yesterday, there's this $20 trillion wave like heading towards America that is DeFi about to eat the lunch of all of the bankers that are out there. And, you know, they're going to do, I mean, they have a lot of money, so they're going to be able to adapt, but it is way more disruptive in terms of disintermediation. So imagine like everybody in the world getting rid of the banks. It's hard to imagine. It probably won't happen exactly like that, but it is within the realm of possibility. And so Bank of America should be scared.
Next, it looks like we are moving closer to ETH 2.0.
More drama in the Ethereum world. Man, the miners hate EIP 1559. And it is, you know, essentially there is a sunset on mining Ethereum. Like everyone around can see it. There is a, you know, 3, 6, maybe 12 month window horizon at which point people will not be mining Ethereum anymore. We will be moved over to the proof of stake network. And at that point, gas prices will be much more reasonable. There will be a lot of mechanisms to actually handle lots of transactions, and miners will not be necessary. I guess you could call this their Alamo. I mean, at the end of the day, the writing is well on the wall. I don't know what they hope to gain. So miners are kind of, there is rumblings. We'll see what happens. But there are rumblings that miners might try to 51% attack the Ethereum network to try to basically override and essentially not accept. I mean, the miners would not accept EIP 1559, even if everyone else accepts it. And that is the point of these chains. Like, honestly, it is the point of cryptocurrency chains, proof of work chains in particular, is that he who controls the proof of work controls the chain. So whatever Vitalik wants, whatever anyone else wants, it does not matter. It matters what the proof of work guarantors on the chain want. And they do not want not to be getting fees. They do not want fees to be getting burned as part of, that's sort of like a big part of EIP 1559. And they are just in general not happy about the whole situation. Whereas most other people are pretty excited about anything that brings more stability to the fee market on Ethereum. Honestly, most people are really, really excited about it. So let's call it the miners last stand, and it will not go well for them. I mean, the best case scenario is they get a fork. I don't know how that's the best case. I don't know who wins in that situation. Certainly not them. Ethereum Classic, great example. That's, you know, Ethereum Classic is essentially it's just no longer relevant. You know, it's been 51% attacked to death. It is a completely irrelevant coin at this point. You don't want to be on the other side of this when you basically, let's say the miners fork, they get 6 months of their own coin Ethereum. I get, you know, 1560 or something, and then they get replaced by this. So as part of this, the developers are looking at new ways to essentially speed up the deployment of Ethereum 2.0. And again, this is why this is so short-sighted for the miners. Is it just, you don't want the developers to be doing that. It's just, you know, worst case scenario, they introduce a bug and that causes the entire thing to just lose value. Best case scenario, they replace you. So I don't know, if I was a miner, I would be figuring out other coins to go to, and I'd be kind of looking it around, but I would be sort of just taking it a little bit more chill.
All right. So up next, there's a new DeFi product that simplifies leveraged ETH bets.
Yeah, this is a 2x pool. So it's by the same guys, the index pool guy, index co-op guys, who had some of the other pools that are out there, like the EFT type tracking funds. In this case, what they try to do is they try to design a token that will move double, like 2x to the price of Ethereum. It will go up twice as fast. It will go down twice as fast. This has been around in traditional circles for a long time. So there are 2x, 3x, 4x, 16x instruments in the traditional financial markets. I think it's great. I mean, you know, it's not a place where I would put my money, because I just don't really see a super compelling reason to like take that leverage in that way. But what is always exciting about this is more and more instruments coming to the Ethereum blockchain. That's what we are all excited about all day long, is more and more traditional financial instruments making their way to the blockchain.
So next, VC firm Andreessen Horowitz leads a $23 million round for NFT marketplace OpenSea.
Well, hey, OpenSea has been killing it lately. Everyone is on NFTs. $23 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, big round for them.
It's a big round. I will not... You know, everyone who listens know I have a tenuous relationship with how much I do or don't like NFTs. But at the end of the day, A, what I think doesn't matter. B, this is awesome for OpenSea, excuse me. C, I'm not sure. Like, it's a big bet from Andreessen on what could end up being a trend. Like, that's like a real trendy kind of item. And it's super interesting to me, because you don't normally see Andreessen doing this. Now, all that being said, OpenSea is making a ton of money right now. Like, mm-hmm. The way they work is they are making a ton of money right now on this. So maybe it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, like, it is really interesting to me that Andreessen would make a bet on what could end up being a relatively poppy sort of product. But I'm sure there was 10, 15 VCs going after them. So, you know, awesome. Leverage it to the hilt and get in there and do some really cool stuff. This should be exciting.
Yeah, I agree. So the big four are gearing up to become crypto and blockchain auditors.
Yep. This is super interesting, because they are, and we've run into them. With Bitwave, we run into them. We see them sort of getting it. They're starting to write some of their own products. They're starting to work with some of the big guys. At the end of the day, you know, Coinbase goes public. They need to have real auditors doing real audits on their digital assets and all of that. I think this is kind of cool. There is this other side. When I put on my DeFi hat and think about it, you know, these guys are woefully underprepared for kind of what's happening, and they are really pretty far out of the... You know, there's sort of this conflict of interest. I mean, there's no other way to say it, is that there is a conflict of interest that a lot of what is happening is to replace the big four accounting firms, or the big four consulting firms, or the big three consulting firms, or the big four, you know, investment banks. There is a target on all of their backs. Accounting auditing is very different in a blockchain world. You know, you just don't need the same number of people, the same type of people kind of operate on it, because you can just write tools for it. So there's obviously everyone is worried about their jobs. Everyone's trying to stay on top of things. And this is sort of inevitable. I'm waiting for this story about Goldman. That'll come in the next few weeks. Like, that's when Goldman is making big bets in this area.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Take it easy.